Okay, we're up to Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Zayin, finishing up the story of Rechavam and Yeravam. Klal Yisrael comes to Rechavam, they make demands that he lower the taxes, and he refused to do so. After 3 days of discussing this with his advisors, the Zakenim and the Eladim, Klal Yisrael, they hear that he's not responsive, he's insensitive to their requests, so they all decide, you know what, we don't need you, we don't need the Beis HaMikdash, we don't need Hashem, and they completely abandon Rechavam and the Malchus of David. Pasuk Yud Zayin of Bnei Yisrael Hayoshim Yorei Yehuda Vayimlech Aleihem Rechavam. So it says, although most of the Klal Yisrael did abandon Rechavam, but his own tribe, who lived...
How come they don't say the Malchus of Shlomo? Why do they say the Malchus of David?
The Malchus of... Because the Malchus begins with David. It's always called, it's always going to be David, because it's the bracha. Seemingly, it's because the bracha that Hashem gave David, that it will never be cut off from your zera, the Malchus. In reward for building the Beis HaMikdash, you will always be in your family. So it's always considered to be his Malchus, the Malchus of David. We mispal that Semach David, Avdech HaMirasat Smich, we mispal that the Gula should come from David. So here, most of Klal Yisrael is abandoned Rechavam, but he does have some supporters. And the supporters here that says only Pasuk Yitzad and Eishel, Hayesh V'Yor Yehuda, Yiluch Aleim Rechavam, those that lived in the Ore Yehuda. What about Binyamin? We are very familiar that there was more than just Yehuda. There was always two Shvatim that were loyal to David, Yehuda and Binyamin. So it's interesting, if you read between the lines, I don't know if I'm saying it's 100% accurate, but Binyamin really wasn't so interested. I don't know if what I'm saying is totally wrong. But the impression I got from preparing is that Binyamin wasn't necessarily... they would be willing to follow the majority of Klal Yisrael and support Yeravam. It's just that Binyamin lived in Yerushalayim. Half of Yerushalayim was divided. They were attached. And that's where they lived. So it just wasn't practical for them. Bishlomo, the other 10 Shvatim, they didn't live in the vicinity. They lived far away, and you're insensitive, so we should go and work to support you. What do we need this for? We'll have our own king, we'll have our own system of government, we don't need you. But Binyamin had nothing really in it for them. It wasn't family. You do things in this world because of family, or because it's just practical. It's not family, because Binyamin is not Shevet Yehuda. They have a different mother. It's just that they live in Yerushalayim. The Beis HaMikdash was divided itself between Binyamin and Yehuda. On one side, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Chelik of Binyamin, which means half of the city of Yerushalayim was the Chelik of Binyamin, and half the Yerushalayim was the Chelik of Yehuda. If you learn according to Mandiyam that the Yerushalayim was divided among the Shvatim, it wasn't practical for them to abandon David. Therefore, they remember, not out of their goodwill, they wanted to support Rechavim. That's one approach. Another approach is that no, not necessarily. So they did really were loyal to him because they believed in Rechavam, or they recognized that it's important to be loyal, not to be kafri toif to David, who brought Malchus to Klal Yisrael. It's just that relative to Yehuda, I think maybe the Malm says this, someone said, we'll see in a few moments who says this, is because of the kavod of Shevet Yehuda, nothing else is important. We just mentioned Yehuda, we don't even bother mentioning Binyamin, not to detract from the kavod, the honor we want to give the tribe of the Melech Rechavam. So that's why here only mentions the Be'ori HaYehuda, the cities of Yehuda, which also include the cities of Binyamin.
Later on though, they do mention Binyamin.
Okay. Pasuk, which Pasuk?
Pasuk Gemel.
But here it doesn't mention. Here it only mentions the Ore Yehuda. Ore Yehuda, and also it says, I think maybe we passed in the previous paragraph, we also mentioned that for only one Shevet's going to remain. Maybe that was the Navi, and that wasn't necessarily here. It was in Sefer Melachim, Achia Hashiloni. When Achia Hashiloni told him, you're only going to have left with you Shevet Yehuda. What about Binyamin? So Binyamin is Nichlal to some degree in Shevet Yehuda, either because they were wanting to give cover to Shevet Yehuda, or because it was just practical for them to remain loyal to Rechavam. Okay, we'll see further. So this is what it says, Vayimloch aleihem Rechavam, they crown Rechavam. Notice it says, Vayimloch aleihem Rechavam. Why do they have to be Vayimloch? Isn't it obvious? Ben achar ben, automatically is the king. What's Vayimloch? So it does seem to indicate that there is a need for there to be a new appointment, a new anointment, a new coronation of the next king. Some Farshim learned, that's what it says in the Pasuk, Soim tosim alecha melech. Soim tosim is twice. What's the repetition? So Chazal tells us simply that kavod malchus, melech shemochel al kavodai, ein kavodai machal. If the melech decides to take off the kavod malchus, soim tosim, put it back upon him. That's the halachic, something that we learned, halacha teaching we learned from this pasuk. But other mafarshim learn more derech hashkafa, soim tosim is that every generation or every time a king dies and there's a new king, once again you have to reappoint the king. You have to acknowledge that this is, it's true, it's the son of the king. It goes down Yerusha, but you must once again appoint the king as recognized, this is a new king. What?
Reaffirmation.
Correct, reaffirmation. And that's exactly what it says over here. There was a debate who should be king. Rechavam was rejected by most of Klal Yisrael, but by Yehuda he was accepted. And they reaffirmed, or they actually anointed him as their new king. Now, one thing I left out from yesterday, just to go, we went into the bit of Malchus. When Klal Yisrael rejected the Malchus, it's there, it says here, going back, the Chol Yisrael, okay, Pasuk Tesvav, the Chol Yisrael, Ki Lo Shama HaMelech Lohem, when they heard, they recognized the king is not sensitive to their request, Vayashivu Ha'am Es HaMelech Leymar, Malon Chelek B'David, V'Loi Nachlo B'Ven Yishai, Ish Lo Helecha Yisrael. What's the repetition? A chelek in David and a nachla in Ben Yishai. It's a very important pasuk. And unfortunately, to explain, there are really three selections in appointing a melech. This week's parsha, lo yosu shevet mi Yehuda, malchus must come from shevet Yehuda. Now, in shevet Yehuda, there are many, many families. Yehuda branched out into a whole nation, almost. Among the families it was selected by Shmuel through a Ruach HaKodesh, it's going to be the family of Ben Yishai. Yishai had 8 sons. Any one of them theoretically could have been the king. And in fact, the oldest one it's a shocking thing to say, the oldest son was meant to be king. We're going to have some reference to him later on, a few seconds from now, we mentioned to him today, about David's oldest son. He was really meant to be king. However, Hashem, but he was rejected. There's something happened in his lifetime, which we're not familiar with all the details. The Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel says, Vayimoseyu, Hashem rejected. When Shmuel came, and Shmuel saw, we'll have a long Rashi soon that we'll discuss in more detail. Shmuel came and he saw, Yishai's oldest son, and he right away said, he said, certainly this is the anointed one, this is the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to select, meaning, it's not just enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has selected Shevet Yehuda. It's not just enough that Hashem has selected among Shevet Yehuda Ben Yishai. Hashem has also made a selection among Yishai's children, specifically David. I think most of us look at Malchus as that it was a person Hashem saw from Maaseh Bereishis, when Hashem created Adam Arishon, and Hashem saw in the future there's going to be a tzaddik, his name is David, and Hashem wants David to be the melech. So everything now works backwards. David is the melech. Oh, David happens to be the son of Yishai. David happens to be part of Shevet Yehuda. That's not the way it works. It's not that Hashem saw this precious neshama David and now he's the one that's going to be melech, he's going to be the melech, and we're working backwards. No. There is first a selection. Hashem chose Shevet Yehuda. There are leadership characteristics in Shevet Yehuda that Klal Yisrael needs. Then came Ben Yishai. Yishai, Hashem had a special pleasure in Yishai. But Yishai had 8 children. Any one of them could have been the melech. It's not anyone more special than the next. It was a selection process. Hashem chose David. So here, when they're saying that we do not want to have, that's exactly what they're saying, Malanu Chilek, but David. We don't want the selection of David. V'loi Nachla, but then Yishai. And we don't want this family Yishai. Yeah.
So,
Okay, so there are stages in which this selection is played out, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't. There was no foreknowledge.
Of course, there are different dimensions in what was known in advance, but if you put aside one dimension of there being this Neshama David, and you go through the steps, the natural steps, there's a three-step process. Parshas Vayichi, then is Yishai, then is David. Here they're rejecting two. They're not rejecting, they're also rejecting the Shevi Yehuda, obviously. Ish Le'ohelecha Yisrael, they're rejecting, which we learned yesterday means everyone should go to their idols. They're rejecting Hashem, they're rejecting Shevi Yehuda, and they're selecting Shevi Ephraim, Yerom Ben Avot.
Probably multiple stages at choice points.
Chazal only give these three. These three, because these three are mentioned in this pasuk. It's mentioned in Malachim. There's a din of Ben Yishai. Ben Yishai is a theme which appears in different sections of Tanakh and David. So these are three. These are the three major branches. The three major decisions. They use Loshon Bechira.
For example,
Okay, but it doesn't. Yes, a very good point. It doesn't say that Hashem chose Peretz over Zerach. I hear what you say. Obviously, at each break, there's another selection. Okay, but these are in the Chazal's terminology. There are three selections. Three selections: Yehuda, Yishai, and then among Yishai's children, it is specifically David. They're rejecting David, they're rejecting Yishai, and they're rejecting, obviously, Yehuda by taking a different shevet, and now they are rebelling. But how
it's giving you a little bit of the hint, giving you a hint for what's to follow. In other words, going backwards, you could see that was what was.
So it was Ruth and Boaz, an important.
Yeah, right.
Okay, it's true. There are minima. Let's go for the pasuk Yudches. Vayishlach Hamelch. Now Rechavim appears was not aware that Klal Yisrael had rejected. He thought it was just some bad feeling between him and the rest of Klal Yisrael. But at Kedekach, that Klal Yisrael would rebel and select another leader, he did not believe they went that far. Then it was only 70 years after David died, 70 years after David became king, only 40 years after David died. It's relatively, everyone knew David. Most people still remember David. He couldn't believe that Klal Yisrael would so quickly forget about his grandfather and get rid of him. So what did he do? He sent Melech Rechavim as Hadoram. Hadoram was Asher Alamas. He was the person that was in charge of collecting taxes. Now, we learn it say from the beginning of Divrei Hayom, if I'm not mistaken, it says there that the person Hadoram, his main job was to quarry stones. He was the overseer of making sure people would pay taxes in stones. They would go out to the mountains and they would quarry stones and they would transport them to Yerushalayim for the king's projects. This was his expertise. Shlomo is now telling him, "I'm giving you a promotion. You're no longer going to be in charge of stone. You'll collect cash. Go out and collect money from the people." He sent him Hadoram Asher Lamas VaYirgumu Vo V'nei Yisrael Oven. They threw stones at him. He died. He was killed. VaYamos and he died. He was killed by. This was the ultimate rebellion. VeHamelech Rechavam Hisameitz. And when he heard the report that his tax collector was murdered by Klal Yisrael when he demanded taxes, he now began to realize that he's in a lot of trouble. There's rebellion. His samet was quick, la'alois bamba merukova, to ascend in his chariot, lanus, to flee Yerushalayim. Now, if there's a first, let me tell you a chazal. We'll do the Rashi and this in a moment. There's a very interesting chazal. Chazal say, no one has a right to harass the Jewish people. No one. Now it goes without saying a goy, a non-Jew, has no right to harass Klal Yisrael, and it goes without saying that a Jew has no right to become a tyrant and a tax collector. But even this Maimon Chazal, that no one has a right to harass, even refers to Gaboyet Tzedakah. If the Rabbanon appoint a person to collect charity for the poor, there are people that are starving in the street. We need to collect money to support them. Okay, so you can go from house to house and collect money. But when you collect money from the Hamoiram, you have to do it with Derech Eretz. Don't think that since you've been appointed by the Rosh Yeshiva and the Gedolei Hador, and you have a tzetel, everyone has signed, all the Gedolim have signed their name, you have a right to harass and to mock and to be a tyrant. No one has a right to do so. Afilu gaboy tzedakah. And the example from Tanakh that is given to illustrate this point is exactly this person, Hadoram. Hadoram was a tax collector for Shlomo and David. Even for David, he was in charge of the mass of Chitzvei Evan, those who quarry stones. And he was a tyrant. It appears that he abused his authority by harassing the people when he came to collect the stones. Here I am, I'm a government official. You know, you have to put me up in the nicest. I'm here. You have to put me up in your home. You have to feed me the best food, best accommodations. And he insulted them and he did terrible things to them. Whatever, we don't know exactly what happened. And he was nida kineged nida. The stones. The way he was killed, now with poison, not like the Romans. They gave him a pop of poison. They killed him by throwing the same stones that he would, in the past years, would demand as taxes. The Chitzei Evan is what was used to actually bring about his death. That is what Chazal learned from this pasuk. Another important Chazal, Bamerkava, they learned from this that Rechavam, he was smitten with tsaras. Because it says in the parsha, it says, I forgot the word, I don't have the chazal in front of me, that if the anything called mishkov or merkov upon which a mitzvah sits becomes an avatam. In the parsha's tazria mitzvah, maybe you remember the pasuk by heart. Mishkov ha-merkov. Asha yeshev alav hazav. So he was a zav, wasn't a mitzvah. Asha yeshev alav hazav. So he becomes Tameh, that in punishment for his abuse of Klal Yisrael, he became a Zav, or could be a Mitzvah. I don't remember the exact Lashon, either a Zav or Mitzvah. And that's why specifically the word Merkava, the chariot, is used. Now, what's the Raya? So I saw he has a very interesting explanation. The Mishpitzai Zav, why? What's the Raya? Just because it says here in the Pasuk, La Lois Ba Merkava. Chazal says, it says the word Merkava here. And it says the word Merkava by a Zav, or by a Mitzvah in that parasha. And just like over there, we're dealing with a person who is ill. Person who's a zoth, there's an illness. His body is flowing with things that normally an unhealthy person does not have. And he's sick. So because it says the word here, and it says the word in Parshas Tazria Mitzvah, this is an indication that he became ill. He was sick because of what he did to Klal Yisrael. What's the Raya? The reason why it says here Merkava was because he was a king. And a king travels in a chariot. Why do Chazal have a right to go make a drasha just because it says the word here and it says the word there? Could you make a drasha? So the answer is because it says here the word lanus. A merkava is not something that goes at high speeds. When you want to go at high speeds, you go in a Porsche. You go in. There are different types of vehicles that you use when you travel at high speeds. When you travel in ceremony, then you go in an open limousine. Right, you go on Lakendi, travels in an open limousine, and ceremony. Open limousine doesn't travel that fast. Okay, that's just not the way it goes. It's ceremonial. Okay, it's ceremonial. So what it here is he going here in a Merkava? A Merkava is not something that's lanus. So the answer is this is one of the first sources for an ambulance. That a Merkava is something which is ideal for the ill, for the sick. If you're going at high speeds, right, you're going in a fighter jet. And a fighter jet, there's not much room. Going in a stealth fighter, you know, the cockpit in the stealth fighter is teeny. There's not much room for all the medical equipment and for a stretcher and for people to sit and hover over you and make sure that you're feeling okay and to take your pulse and temperature and administer medication every few moments. That's just not the way it goes when you're going in a vehicle that travels at high speeds. A Merkava! Oh, a Merkava is a chariot. chariot, there's plenty of room. You can lie down, and you can have assistance, and you can have equipment, and all of that. So that is indeed ideal for the ill. But it's a contradiction to the word lanus. You know, it doesn't go fast. So there's a very unusual combination here in this pasuk. There was an emergency. There's an emergency. We got to get the king out of this area because they're coming to kill the king. So you put him in a vehicle that's not a Merkava to get out of here as fast as possible. But yet they're not. They have decided to transport the king in a Merkava lanus. Those words don't go together. So why are the words being brought together? It must be they had no choice. Why do they have no choice? Because he was sick. He was very ill. And he needed to lie down in a Merkava. So that's how we know, Chazal knew, that we now are Merkava. It says we're Merkava Parshas Tazria Mitzayra. It must be that indeed he was a very sick person, and that's why he had to be transported in this fashion. To flee to Yerushalayim. Pasuk Yutes, Vayifshu'u. Yisrael beveis David ar hayom hazeh. So the word vayifshu is an unusual word. It means, Rashi has a whole number of examples. It means they rebelled. They rebelled a pesha. Pesha means a sin. What?
Where, at this point, where was he?
He was in Shechem. Shechem. Near Shiloh, where they demanded, all the people demanded of you.
Why would he seek refuge in Yerushalayim?
Because that's his hometown.
That's
the palace.
That's his home base.
That's where he has strength?
Yes, yeah. Certainly. That's Shevet Yehuda.
Shevet Yehuda. He was from Yehuda.
So the pesha means chet. Pesha means to sin, to rebel. And here they sinned b'veis David. They rebelled against b'veis David Yemazen until this day, meaning until the time when you read this pasuk, which means Adi Yemazeh, we have still not yet been reunited. We're still waiting for the time when the Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Israel, never came back together. It never happened because the Aseres HaShvatim were by and large lost. 250 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled by Sancheirif. At this point in time, the Malchus split, and the Malchus was never reunited, and Sancheirif came and exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. Will the Aseres HaShvatim return? Will they not return when Mashiach comes? That is a discussion in the Gemara. Different opinions. Maybe yes, maybe not. One thing we do know for sure is that although the Aseres HaShvatim in large numbers disappeared, but there were definitely remnants, individual survivors. There were definitely people, we're even going to see in a few moments, that some members of the Ten Shvatim rejoined Rechavam. When they saw that Yerovam ben Nevat, how far he went to build a replica of Beis HaMikdash in Beis HaLandon, and he set up idols, Agolim, which was a reminder to the Chet HaEgel, which to some degree was still fresh in their minds. It's not exactly, it's been already 480 years, but it's not been like today 3,000 years, so it was still fresh in their minds, the concept of the Egel HaZav, when they saw what Yerovam ben Nevat did. So there were many, there were a significant number of people, going to see in a few moments, of people who were from the Aseres HaShvatim, that abandoned the Aseres HaShvatim, and they fled to Yerushalayim to be part of the Malchus of Rechavam and live with Yehuda and Binyamin. Mainly, who are the main people who joined them? The Levim. The Levim and the Kohanim, because the Levim and the Kohanim, they had their cities scattered all over Eretz Yisrael. So they had really no part in this. They knew the real thing. You can't fool the Kohanim and the Levim, because they were the ones who actually had Avoda, and they saw the replica, it was a joke, what the Rav was doing, and they went and they returned to be loyal to Rechavam and the Malchus of David. Now, there is something very interesting about Ad Hayom Hazeh. It was never meant to be. This division of the Malchus was only supposed to last for 36 years. I don't remember exactly why. I didn't have a chance to go look at why 36 years, but it was not meant to last for a long time. This punishment of Shlomo for rebelling against Hashem and building a temple for Avodah Zarah in honor of his wife Basparo, Achia HaShiloni told Yerovam ben Nevat that indeed the Malchus will be taken away from Shlomo, will be divided. It was not meant to be permanent. It was only supposed to be for a short time until there'll be some reconciliation. And then after Yerovam dies, the Malchus will be restored. It could be 36 years corresponds to the 36 years when Shlomo rebelled against Hashem. I mean, Shlomo was king for 40 years. So why he built the Milo? At least it took 7 years to build the Beis Hamikdash. So that's already 43. So we get 46. I don't know. But it was only supposed to last for a short period of time. And unfortunately, we all know that once you begin to slide, slippery slope, it's very, very hard. It only gets worse and worse, and it never happened. And that's a very tragic. This is a very tragic pasuk. Vayivshu, because it was authorized. There was a navi. A navi went, Achia Hashiloni, anointed. It wasn't a real anointment, but he went and he appointed a melech man Klal Yisrael, Yeruvim ben Nevat, and he was not supposed to build a base of Avodah Zarah. He was just supposed to be in charge of the other shvatim for a period of time until the malchus of David would do tshuva and they would be deserving of having the whole Klal Yisrael under their authority. But that was the rebellion. Once they got used to a lack of central authority, they kept it that way. Like the old joke, you go to a desert island and you find a person and he built for himself on Gilligan's Island two shuls. Why there are two shuls? Because that's the shul I don't daven in. That's the one. So that's really what it's all about. As long as it's competition, I'm part of Malchus Yisrael, not part of Malchus Yehuda. I don't want to know from that part. Okay, let's take a look at these three psukim pasuk. Pasuk Yitzayin in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk, there is no Yitzayin. Pasuk Yitches Vayishlach. Shalach Hashem Lachzir B'divrei. He sent away the people. Lachzir B'divrei Rakoy. So now, in Pasuk Yitzayin, according to Pasuk Yitches, according to the Mitzudos, telling a very interesting idea. That Rechavam realized he made a mistake. As we mentioned yesterday, his whole approach to how his leadership was not normal. Anyone would tell you, anyone would have advised him that you're not doing the right thing. And someone with his degree of chachma, being the son of Shlomo, it was irrational what he did. Didn't make one bit of sense. However, Lev Milochim Biyad Hashem. That's in essence what Rashi said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in his mind this idea to speak to the Klal Yisrael in such a way because Hashem wanted the Malchus to be divided as a punishment for Shlomo and for David. And therefore, now after the special it wore off, the spell that Hashem cast upon Rechavam, he realized he made a mistake, so he tried to achieve some reconciliation. And that's why Vayishlach, he sent messengers to speak to them softly. Sholach esa'om la'achzirom b'divrei rakos, with soft words. However, it didn't work. They stoned his tax collector, who was murdered in cold blood. His amates, it's very violent. Tanakh is extremely violent. Yeah, sure. That's why some people, they're afraid to teach Tanakh to little children. Because especially when you begin to learn Shmuel, Avner, and this one, he takes out the sword, he stabs him. Okay, I mean, today, we just watched television for 5 minutes. this is nothing compared. But I guess people who are very sheltered, very pure children who are sheltered from the violence that you see on television and learn Tanakh, it is a very violent and frightening things that you appear in Sefer Melachim and Avodah Zarah, non-stop Avodah Zarah. And non-stop to violence, civil war and violence, it is something...
There must have been a big source for the Bnei Yisrael that they would be instead of only 36 years,
yeah,
that they got the Melucha and the Melucha stayed by them. They must have... It was an Einish for David.
Yeah.
But it was also a Zchus.
Why is that a Zchus?
Why did they give that? They could have been split without a Melucha.
You need leadership. You can't function. Look at the world. The world can't function without leadership. Every country. Okay, let's try that. Of course, but you need leadership. You have to have leadership. It's also very interesting. One thing that comes out very, very much over and over, we learn from Malach HaShavat. We emphasize this a little bit. Is that Malach HaShavat? She says some powerful words to Shlomo. The reason why the fact that you are the king of Klal Yisrael is a sign that Hashem loves His nation. Because Hashem gives a leader, if Hashem loves the people, Hashem rewards people with a leader that is good. Which, what's the converse? If Hashem hates His people, Hashem gives Him a leader that's corrupt, that's evil. It's a very powerful idea. Maybe the whole reason why we have Malach HaShavuot is Kedai just for that, that concept. I don't know if we have that idea expressed so eloquently by other figures in Tanakh. She comes. It's a very powerful statement. So you look at every generation. Who are their leaders? A generation, the Chafetz Chaim. Yeah, look at the Gedolei Hador. Who are the Gedolei Hador of every generation? So there are certain generations that the generation really has pride, who the leaders are. That's not just the pride who the person is, that's a son that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he likes his people. He likes people, he gave them special people. And then you have other situations where, you know, things are not as good. Okay, that's a very interesting point. So we have here temporary reconciliation, and what's the response? The response is violence. No good deed goes unpunished. Right, he tries to make reconciliation with them, and they go and they murder his agents.
He should have said, "I'm not going to take that."
No, but look what it says. Look at the pasuk Yitches. The Mitzudo says that he has. I don't know where it comes from. The Mitzudo says you're right. It doesn't say it in the pasuk anywhere. Mitzudo is getting this from somewhere. He says, "Vayishlach." Somehow, the word "vayishlach" has a connotation of divrei rakos, softness. He changed his approach. Shalach el esa'am liachaziram. He sent to the people. Esa means to the people. Liachaziram b'divrei rakos. He went and he sent hadoram to the people to speak to them softly and say, "This is the way it's going to be. There's going to be taxes. But I'm not going to talk to you with chutzpah anymore."
When you get an IRS letter that says, "Dear sir,
please, rakos, please show up at the jail. Please."
Didn't he send
the miraculous?
Didn't he send the wrong person? Yeah.
Okay.
He sent the wrong guy, right?
What?
He had a bad
it could be anyone. It could be anyone that he sent. It could be anyone that would have been sent. The same thing would have happened. Maybe, I guess, maybe in the past, Chazal said that he abused them in the past. So when they saw him, they were not so happy. Okay, there's more. We'll see Rashi, and there's more about this person, Hadoram. Here is letter. There's a letter missing in his name. Okay, we'll see. His Hisamates. Now, when he realized that he is in big trouble, he better get out of this place. His Hisamates. Kipocha l'nafsho. He was afraid for his life, and that's why he got into his Merkava and he fled. Pasuk Yitzes Adi Yomazeh Rotzlema Ad Asher Golu Mi'aratzam. So what do you mean Adi Yomazeh? So the Mitzvah is just a technical point. What do you mean anything Adi Yomazeh? The Zman Hazeh, there's no Melech altogether. We don't have anything altogether. The answer is when this was written. Adi until the Golos. Until right. Fine. Okay. Now let's look at the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Zayin, starting from there. Pasuk, there is no Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yitzes Hadoram. So over here, Rashi points out there's a Vav missing in his name. Who, and there's also an Aleph. Who Adoniram. Okay, they used to say from Malach, and there it's spelled with an Aleph. Aleph means Adnos. He in the past was a master. He's Adon, a master. Here the Aleph is missing. The Aleph was taken away from him. Shebimei Shlomo Giduloso Gidola. In the lifetime of Rechavim's father, he was a very great, distinguished person. And that's why there he's spelled with an Aleph, Adoram, Lashon of Adon. However, Mei Rechavim Nishpula Giduloso, he was lowered, Alkei Nikra Hadoram, the Aleph is missing, we have no allusion, this word, expression to the word of Adoni, to a master. Vayirgim Ubo B'Neishol, Ovin Lefish Rechavim Lo Yoda Hasiba, Rechavim was unaware, he was out of the loop. He did not know the people, the degree of hatred they had for him in the way he spoke to them. He did not know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Malchus to be divided because of the Chatoim of David and of Shlomo. Lo yoda hasiba v'hakesher. Kesher means the rebellion, the conspiracy. Shehesibu mimenu, alkei nerak. He was killed. Kishushol hamas shekotz avalim ham Shlomo. He was killed when he made a request for the people to pay the taxes. Now we come to this unusual word.
Rashi is saying here that even though it wasn't the new taxes that he promised he'd give him. Rechavim said,
Shlomo. I mean, okay.
The old taxes.
Okay, very good. Okay, I didn't pick that up. That's right. Even though it was the old taxes, it was nothing new. Well, we have to also understand that the request was that they should lower the taxes. they said that we cannot maintain the high taxes of Shlomo. The response was, not only am I not going to lower the taxes, I'm going to maintain the status quo, I'm going to increase, there'll be new taxes. So by coming to answer you the tax of Shlomo, it was rubbing in their face that I'm not lowering the taxes. So that Yifshu b'Yisrael v'Es David, so what is this word by Yifshu? Yifshu l'Shon of Pesha, l'Shon Mardus. It means to rebel. V'dugmasu m'lochem b'yam of Pesha Moav, Moav rebelled against Klal Yisrael. I think it's, if not mistaken. Ach Nifsha Mikiryas Oz, a brother rebelled from a mighty city. Oz Tifsha Levana, lived in the city, rebelled. We have different expressions in Tanakh, but the word Tifsha is an expression of rebellion, borrowed from the word Pesha to sin. The ultimate sin you can do is to rebel against your master. Okay, now we go to next perek. Vayavo Rechavim Yerushalayim. So now Rechavim arrives Yerushalayim. Vayakelo Esbeis Yehuda V'Yamin Meya. So now what Rechavim does, he's about to make a very big mistake, and he's very, very lucky that he is prevented from this happening. He says there's going to be civil war. Klal Yisrael, call up the troops. Everyone here in Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin will go into war against our brothers. We're going to war against the other 10 Shvatim who have rebelled against me. This is a very, very tragedy. Vayavu Rechav Yushlam Vayakel Espeis Yehuda Binyamin Meya Ushmanim Elf 180,000 Bachur young men, or chosen. Bachur means chosen soldiers. Oisei Milchama, who are experts in warfare. Lilachem Im Yisrael, to fight their brethren, the other 10 tribes, lehashiv es hamamlacha lerechavam, in order to restore the malchus to Rechavam. So here we have a very good miracle. Kadosh Baruch Hu was watching from above, and we had a Navi, Vayihi Dvar Hashem El Shemayahu Ish Elokim Lemar, one of the great prophets. It's interesting, he doesn't get his own sefer. He saved Klal Yisrael from civil war, and he's mentioned here, Shemayahu Ish Elokim Lemar. People have that name, Shemayahu. You ever hear someone's name Shemayahu? It's a name. M-R? Shemayahu. Shemayahu. So here we have the whole full spelling, Shemayahu. Shemayahu Ish, Elokim Leimar, M-R El Rechav Ben Shlomo Melech Yehuda. He was a prophet. Go to Rechav Ben Shlomo Melech Yehuda, V'el Kol Yisrael B'Yehuda, U'V'Yamin Leimar, and to all of the members of Yisrael B'Yehuda, V'Yamin Leimar, go to them saying Lefa. Now here it mentions, we'll see in the Mitzvahs, We'll see. It mentions this later on again. There's an allusion here, the El Kol Yisrael. And to all of the Jews, simply you can translate it, means all of the members. All of the members of the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin. But it also alludes to other people from other parts of Klal Yisrael. Because there were many people that said, I can't live like this. I can't live under the authority of Yeravam ben Nevat. He is not Malchus David. He's not the real thing. I have to be loyal to the Malchus David. It's after all, David, we learned yesterday, David HaMelech was a very great simple rebel. And people were expected to have Hakaras HaToiv to his grandfather and to his father. And there were people for us, Kol Yisrael, all of the other members of other tribes of Klal Yisrael who have joined to be Yehudu V'Nyamin Leimar Koyim HaShem Lo Salu. Do not do this. Do not ascend. V'lo si lo chamu. Do not wage war im achichem. That's the key word. They are your brothers. How dare you fight against your own brother? And therefore, shuvu ishlevei. So everyone should return to their tent. So to their tent. Ki mi'iti nihiyo hadavar hazeh. This was mi'asiba from Hashem. Hashem wants this to be as a punishment. And therefore, vayishmu es divrei Hashem. They listen. That's incredible. That's an incredible statement. They actually listen to the words of the prophet. Vayeshuvu mileches, from going el Yeravam, from going to war against Yeravam ben Nevat. Now notice here when it says shuvu ish lebeiso, not le'oholo. Go back to your tent, not go back to your bayis, not to your tent. Notice the difference in expression. The people of Yehuda, they said ish kol Yisrael le'oholov. Le'oyholav, to their tent. Here, when Hashem, the Navi, speaks, Shuvu ish lebeiso. That's l'chora how Chazal knew to make the drasha that when they said Kol Yisrael le'oyholav, don't read it le'oyholav, ela le Elohav. Everyone go to your Avodah Zarah. The more correct expression would have been what the Navi said, return to your bias. And your bias means to the Beis Hamikdash, to your home, to your family, to David, whatever it alludes to, not to your tent, which is similar to the word of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is like a tent. A tent's only temporary. A tent, a bias is permanent. A tent, you pitch a tent. Where's the tent today? It's here, tomorrow it's there. Avodah Zarah, all depends. Today you worship this idol, tomorrow that idol, the next day the next idol. All depends on which idol, the fad of the day. Okay, so now they listen, they went back. Let's see these few psukim in the Mitzudos, and Rashi, Pasuk Aleph in the Mitzudos. Uvin Yamin. Kigama, so here for the very first time we have a mention of Binyamin. See, because it's not mentioned. In the prophecy of Achia HaShiloni, Binyamin was not mentioned. It was only mentioned the Malchus will be taken away from David, and you'll only have left Yehuda. And here for the very first time in Divrei HaYamim, but it's also in Melachim, it's mentioned Binyamin. So why now? Binyamin, ki gam aleihem molach ki Yerushalayim ir hamalucha ha'isa l'nachla liyehuda binyamin. Umibnei kvoit shevet Yehuda lo huzgru binyamin imohem. So the Mitzvah is like apologetic. Binyamin, really, they weren't interested. It's just that since they lived in Yerushalayim, so they had no choice. They had no choice to accept the authority of Rechava. And why then do we only give credit to Yehuda? So he says, "Mibnei kavod shevet Yehuda, the honor of shevet Yehuda." Generally speaking, in this episode, in discussing the tribes, lehusku binyamin imohem ki einam rak, they're only there tfeilim lohem. Very, very interesting expression. The shevet binyamin is tofel. Very interesting. Going Tofel to Shevet Yehuda. The Malchus is from Yehuda. Binyamin is Tofel to Yehuda. Okay, Pasik Gimel. Pasik Gimel be Yehuda Binyamin. Hayoshim be Eretz Yehuda Binyamin. The people who live, those who dwell in the people of Yisrael, who are living in the land of Yehuda Binyamin. Fine, that, let's see the Rashi. Is there any Rashi of your Pasik Aleph? Vayakel space Yehuda Binyamin shayu b'tchum yachan. Now here he brings out this whole idea that Binyamin was the same tchum of Yehuda. V'gam Yerushalayim ha'isa shel shneim. Rashi here, there's a machlokes in the Gemara if Yerushalayim was divided among the Shvatim. According to one opinion, it was not. It's public property, and therefore it was very big nafkamina. When you go to Yerushalayim oil regel, next time you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to the King David Hotel, or you go to these really fancy hotels they have today. Every day there's a new hotel. What's the most expensive hotel?
Yeah,
King David? No, that's not the most expensive. In Yerushalayim?
It's a King David.
Waldorf? In Yerushalayim? A Waldorf? It's the most expensive?
Waldorf probably will be bigger.
They have very expensive hotels there.
No, Waldorf in Yerushalayim.
Tell them, you go and go. Next time you go there, you go and you take the most expensive suite. And when you check out, they give you ability to say to them, sorry, Yerushalayim lo neschalko l'shvatim. You're not the balabas here. You have no right to charge me. Yerushalayim lo
neschalko.
You think I'm joking? The Gemara says this. The Gemara says that when you went to Yerushalayim, the Oiler Golem, for the Shoshu Golem, free rent. You go, you knock on someone's door. You pick anyone's house, can you put me up for the Shalosh Regalim? Shalosh Pamash Yerich Hol Zuchorucha. No rent, because Loi Neschalka L'Shvatim. What?
They found a lot of mikvahs in Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
And in every mikvah they found loads of little round stones.
Yeah, Pushka.
No.
The pay?
The boss gave you free rent, but if you went to the base of English, you had to go to the mikvah. And everyone had a mikvah in his house. But you had to pay to go to the
mikvah. Okay.
So you had to get a
token.
Get a token to show that
they didn't have metro cards in those days. Okay. Okay, whatever, but generally the Gemara says, Lloyd, this is true. The Gemara says you lose no rent. You didn't charge rent because it's not your property. Why is it your property more than my property? However, there's another opinion in the Gemara. The Gemara says it's not true. It was divided among the Shvatim. Who divided it? Yehuda and Yamin. Half of Yerushalayim belonged to Yehuda. Which part that was east?
In the Mikdash itself?
In the Mikdash itself. The east part of Yerushalayim belonged to Yehuda. And the west. The west part belonged to Binyamin. The west part. When you go to the coastal plaza, you're on the west. You're on the west side of Yerushalayim, and therefore you're on the territory of Binyamin. So here he just wants to make that point of Vayakal is basically, therefore the Rashi is following that approach. Vayakal is basically the Binyamin shall you betchum yachad v'gam Yerushalayim ha'isa shal shneim. Yerushalayim itself was divided down the center. Ubeis hamikdash al tchum shneim b'bond. The Mikdash was built in the boundary both, v'gvulam and in the boundary. Yeshua mefarish hechayu tchumam yachad. If you want to know exactly how it was divided, go study Sefer Yeshua, figure out there how it was divided. V'gad was saying, in the Chazal, two places, in the Gemara Masechta Megillah and the Masechta in Shkolim. That's Yerushalm. In Yerushalm, it's definitely in Masechta Shkolim and Masechta Megillah. There was a Ritzua that is down the center of the Azara. There was a strip which divided Yehuda from Binyamin. Yaitza Michelik Binyamin, Nechnesas Michelka Shal Yehuda, Violecha Bizbech Banu. The Mizbech was built upon the portion of Binyamin. Lekach Loho Yuchom Lahafrid Zemizes. So here for Rashi seems to be apologizing. That's the reason why Binyamin couldn't leave. Binyamin really, I'm adding a little bit more than what it says. Binyamin, it seems, would really have preferred to join Yerav Ben Avot. That's what it seems to be saying. Maybe I'm going too far. But why did they now leave? It just wasn't proud. Where are we going to go? We don't have anywhere to go. They have where to go. They live all over Eretz Yisrael. We live in Yerushalayim. So where are we going to go? So we might as well make peace with the situation. We'll live under the authority of Rechavam. We'll pay the taxes.
Or,
yeah.
Because they were so intertwined, so side by side.
It was a practical reason.
They always went along with
the practical, but not because they really felt we have any real loyalty to Rechavam. It's not after our tribe. That's what it seems to say. It's a shocking thing to say. It's, if you don't learn, you don't learn these Rashi's and these psukim, you wouldn't think like that. You would think they were Binyamin. You know, chayif love kol hayom. This expash the brachas. Binyamin is the purest. He was not part of Mechiras Yosef. He was born in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't bow down to Esav. Binyamin has alamailas. Binyamin has all the milas. So you think also he saw the light. You don't rebel against the Malchus of David. Rashi doesn't seem to go like that. Rashi seems to say, yeah, no big deal. He also would rebel. It's just that. Okay, so then along comes this very important prophet, Shemayahu, you don't hear much about him, but he's the one who really saved the day. And he says to the Klal Yisrael, don't rebel. He must have been very charismatic. Obviously, it was a very, you can imagine, they were heated up. And he was able to convince one man, able to convince the whole these two shvatim not to go to war. It's an amazing koyach. Im achichem v'haloi achichem b'nei ish echad. They're your brothers. What are you going to kill your own brother? And they listened. Okay, now let's go to the next series of sukkim. Pasuk hey. Vayeshev Rechavam in Yerushalayim, he lived. So Rechavam now, he's selling Yerushalayim. Vayiven Odim Lemotzar B'Yehuda. So he was very wise. He knew that he is vulnerable. That the majority of Klal Yisrael is under the control of Yerav Ben Avot. And there's a whole thing that's being skipped here. There's a massive chunk of Sefer Melachim that's now being left out, where it describes that Rechavam went and he went, and in Sefer Melachim at this point goes off and discusses what happened, doesn't talk about Yehuda. Does not discuss Rechavam. It discusses what happened to Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam ben Nevat went and he built two temples, one in Basel and one in Dan, because he did not want anyone. In the beginning, it appears people would still come to the Beis Hamikdash and bring korbanos. And the big event was what's going to be on the Shalosh Regalim. It appears there was some degree of civility between the two kings. After, we have to remember, it's hard for us to appreciate that Yerav ben Nevat was appointed by a prophet. It wasn't just a pure rebellion. Here I am, I'm rebelling against the king, Mari B'Malchus, and here I am, I'm illegitimate. He wasn't purely illegitimate. The king the Navi appointed him. He gave him the authority. Furthermore, it wasn't necessarily considered to be a rebellion because he had the majority. And this gets into very, very deep discussion of when is a person called a Morba Malchus. You're only a Morba Malchus if you're a minority. If 10 Shvatim are on your side, and 10 Shvatim appoint you as a leader, that's not called Morba Malchus. You're a Melech.
By the victors.
What?
History is written by the...
Yeah, you're a melech. In halacha, you're a melech. I didn't get a chance to go through all details, but I was preparing for today, so I was looking for different topics to prepare. So one of the svarim I try to find ideas is from Minchas Osher. You know Minchas Osher, Rabbi Weiss. Osher, what's the last name?
Osher Zelig
Weiss. He's a very, very American. Big darshan in Eretz Yisrael. Someone told me he's like the Rabbi Reisman in Eretz Yisrael. Someone described him to me.
He's a Rosenberger, but he goes to Shneirot, he goes to...
He has a big following. So he has... a whole section to say for about this topic, because it's this week's Parsha, Parsha Svayichi, about Lo Yosef Shevet Miyehuda. Basically, what is the status of Yeravam ben Nevat? It's timely for us, learning the Tzimilachim. So he presents the three Rishonim, the Rambam, the Ravid, and the Ramban. And I didn't get the whole thing, it's a little bit over my head, but basically, according to the Raiva, the Ramban, Yerovam ben Nevat only had the status of a Shoiter. You know, in the Torah it says, Shoiftim v'shoiterim titin l'cha b'chol sh'arech. It's a pasuk. There's something called a shoiftim v'shoiterim. But there's also a din of the Torah called, Soim tasim alecha melech. So the Ramban says, there's no way that someone can have the authority of a melech, other than Malchus David. Oh, but what's this whole story in Tanakh? Takes up a chunk of Tanakh. Yerovam ben Nevat, the Malchus Yisrael. Yeah, they were sanctioned by Navi Midin Shoifet. Shoiftim v'shoitrim. Titin l'cha b'chol sh'arecha. Nafkamina l'halacha. They don't have a right to take away your property. Only a melech has a right. There are rules that a melech can do. Murder malchus, you can kill without a trial. If you're soim tosim lech a melech has a right to execute a person without a trial. A melech can take away your property without any reason whatsoever. A shofet and a shoiter can't do that. They're also subject to the rules of the Torah. Did Yerovam ben Nevat and all of the following kings have the din of a melech with regard at least to those two halachas? Now, they did whatever they wanted. Okay? They didn't ask the questions because they did a lot worse. We know what they did. We know all they have with the Zara. Okay, they didn't ask the questions. But let's talk about Alpi Halacha. Did they have the Alpi Halacha? If they would come and ask the questions, would they have the right? So that, according to the Ramban, absolutely not. That's all the only koyach. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam seems to say that these kings had the full fledge, no anif and buts of a din of a melech. Because a Navi said you can do it, and they had a following. You have a significant following, you have a mamish din melech. Is Malchus David and is Malchus Yisrael, such a thing. And then he quotes the Ravid, which I don't really count, he says it's in the middle. The Ravid learns he has a din of a melech, he has a David, there are some dinim, yes, I didn't really get the details, but it's somewhere in the middle. Now at this point in Sefer Melachim, we go off and we describe in very great detail the whole story of Yerovam ben Nevat, how he establishes his malchus. Here in Divrei Hayamim, that's not the point. What is Divrei Hayamim all about? Yehuda, Malchus Yehuda. So we're not. We will focus. We have 20 parakim to go yet. We will focus on the Malchus of Yisrael very much, but only how it is relevant. That's a very interesting point. Only how it's relevant to the Malchus of Yehuda. In Sefer Melachim, we focus on Malchus Yehuda l'shem l'shma. L'shem Malchus Yisrael. There's a Malchus Yehuda and there's a Malchus Yisrael. So let's give Malchus Yisrael its own time, its own limelight. Not in Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim, it's all about Malchus Yehuda. And we'll only bring in Malchus Yisrael as it's relevant.
Relationship.
Relevant to Malchus, relationship to Malchus Yehuda. And you see that right here very clear from the very start. The very start, and you say, Malachim, we go off. We make a real detour because we want to give them their time. But not in Divrei Hayamim, we only focus on Yehuda. Yeah.
Is
No, you wanted to say something. He felt vulnerable. He felt that he's going to be under attack. Therefore, he built fortified cities. He built up his cities not to be attacked by Yeravam. He felt, who knows, Yeravam and Nevo will come and take away my malchus. The whole Klal Yisrael, he's more charismatic. Vayiven es beis lechem. So now we have a whole long list of cities. Ravu, vayiven es beis lechem, vayes etam, vayes tekoa, vayes beis tzur, vayes socho, vayes adulam, vayes gas, vayes moresha, vayes zif, vayes adorayim, vayes lachish, vayes azeka, vayes sarav, vayes ayalon, vayes chevroin, asher b'Yehuda, uvin yamin, Ore mitzuros. Mitzuros is same word as mitzudos. The dal and the reish here, for whatever reason, they're like, it's an unusual word. They were fortified cities. Mitzuros. There's a reish here, but really the translation is the same as if it would have said mitzudos. Mitzudos. What?
What you had before. Base tzur.
It's the name of a city. That's not a question. That's base.
No,
that's right. That's no. It's just the name of a city. Base tzur means a rock. So it just that was the name of the city. So he built here the Chevron Asher B'Yehuda uVin Yamin. That was in Yehuda and Bin Yamin in these two cities. If you look over here, Pasuk Yud, right, Jumtum Mitzvot Pasuk Yud, Asher B'Yehuda Bin Yamin, Mehem Hayu Benachlas Yehuda uMehem Bin Yamin. That some of these cities that we mentioned above, we will give a long list of cities. Some of the cities were in the territory of Yehuda, and some were in the territory of Bin Yamin. Ore Mitzuros, Lios, Ore Mivtsar, they were fortified cities. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayichazek Es Hamitzuros, he strengthened the fortifications. Vayitein Bohem Nigidim, he appointed princes, or leaders in each of the fortified cities, the Oitzres Machol, and storage houses of food, the Shemen, oil, the Yoyin, and wine, in order to keep them going. They should, in case there's a siege, they should be able to survive. Pasuk Yud Beis, uvechol ir ve'ir tzinois, he put in each city tzinos, shields, weapons. He sent the best weapons, urmachim, spears, vayechazkeim, laharbein le'ot. He did everything in his power to strengthen these cities. He was afraid of an attack.
He was paranoid.
Yeah, he was. He was. He was paranoid. And the biggest smile was, we're going to see in a few moments, his paranoia caused him to be religious. Okay, this is a very interesting thing. That because he was so paranoid, he felt it kept him in check. It kept him, I better not sin. We can't even begin to imagine the Yetzirah that existed in these days. It is so far beyond us to understand. Every moment they were fighting with the Yetzirah to have the Zorah, Gilei Rais, who knows, Shrichas Damim, whatever it was. And because he was so paranoid, he would lose his Malchus. This was what kept him on a Derech HaYosha. And as soon as all of the cities were fortified, and he felt that Al-Pi Derech HaTeva, I'm safe and secure, he let down his guard for the Yetzirah, and he began to do all of the Averos that he should not have. And he had Yehuda bin Yamin, and not only that, Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'akoyhanim, v'halaviyim. Furthermore, he was fortunate that people from the Koyanim and Levim from the ten Shvatim, because the Koyanim and Levim don't have their own cities. They just were guests. They were guests in the cities, in the territory of the other Shvatim. So I guess that was a mile for them. I guess that in this instance, that was a very, that saved them. That I guess we don't have any land. So we might as well. What's our life all about? Serving Hashem. So where's the real deal? The real place is Yerushalayim. So they packed up their bags and they joined Shevet Yehuda. They gathered. His yatsu, they stood. It's better, more precise. This lush, they stood. They were strong. They presented. They stood a love next to him. He called gvulam from all of their boundaries. Why? Ki azvu halavim es migrishayhem. They abandoned their open areas. Vachuzah sam and their possession they had in other lands. Vayelchu liyudo liyushalayim ki hizniham. Why? It wasn't just he. We're not giving them full credit. Okay, it's interesting. We're not giving them full credit. You would think that's due to their milus. No, they had nothing better. I mean, they were rejected. Yeravam ben Nevat did not trust them. he did not want them to serve in his temples. He made two temples.
Well, which came first, their leaving or his?
I guess at the same time. It was a process. I guess over time. I don't know. Ki his nichon, they were rejected. They were disqualified from serving in the new temples in Beisel and Don. Ki his nichon, Yeravam uvanav, Yeravam and his sons, Michahein Lashem, as serving as a priest to Hashem. And notice we call it for Hashem, because when he built his temples, it's interesting, they were L'shem Shemayim. It was Shalika Halacha. But they were the people that served in this two replica base Bate Mikdashos. They were in the beginning, at least, until they totally went off the derech entirely. They were priests to Hashem. Vayamo lo kohanim labamos. What did he do? Okay, we'll leave pasuk tezvav to tomorrow. Let's just run through the mitzvot of Rashi until tezvav. Let's go back to the mitzudos David. Just a few words. Pasuk Gimel. B'yuda v'yamin ha'yashem yeretz Yehuda v'yamin pasuk hey lematzaru b'Yehuda b'eretz Yehuda bana arim lios arim yivtzala lehisagev b'chem to seek refuge. To be seek refuge in them, Hashem Yehuda v'yamin mehem hoi b'nachlos Yehuda v'yamin arim yivtzalos lios arim yivtzal pasuk yud aleph v'yichazek choskam b'choleis. They were continuously being strengthened in these cities, and the point v'oitzroi smachol hachin Al Eis Hamotzar. Just in case there would be a siege by the enemy, Yoram ben Nevat, he had prepared food, fuel, oil, and wine to be just in case there would be an emergency.
And weapons.
Pasuk Yibes, Lahari Ma'od, Beharbe, Mine Chizek, every type of fortification. Vahilo, V'olola Melech Yisrael, and it worked, and because he fortified the cities, the Melech Yisrael did not bother attacking. So his plan indeed worked, and he had a stronghold over Yehuda and Binyamin. And then, in addition, he gained the support of the Shevet of the Kohanim and Levim. His Yatzalav Bog Mikol Gvulam L'Hisyatzef. What does it mean L'Hisyatzef? La'amod, to stand. The Eretz Yehuda, Tachas Memshalto, under his authority. They abandoned Es Migrash Shehem, their open areas, Shehoyelchem Eretz Aseres Hashvatim. Why? Ki his nichom, Hichricham la'azoiv avoidas hamokom ilchen la'ashem, v'loi nisanam l'leches l'beis hamitzvah, l'beis hamigdash, it means
to
the real beis hamigdash. Okay, this is how he's learning, and that's why I translated, I was incorrect. Because he did not let them participate in the, you're making a good point, maybe I'm wrong, but seemingly he didn't, we know that to be a fact, that Yoram ben Nevat did not allow anyone, he did not allow anyone to go to Yerushalayim, and they felt there was something missing. That's what their whole life is all about. They wanted to go there. So the only way they can go there is to completely abandon the land entirely and live under the authority of Shlomo. Okay, I don't know. I guess it's some type of process. Then he goes on. That's Tazav describing his bama. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi fills in some of the details. Let's pasik dalid. They're ready to be pasik hay. Arim ketanim, even arim lumotzar, arim ketanim bona, v'sovav kol svivosa mayim, mishem choizek. So he built a moat. That's the way they did in the olden days. They built a moat around the city. And that was v'zeh motzar, that's called a motzar. A motzar, what we describe as a fortification, according to Rashi, is a moat. That way you can't travel. They put in what they call crocodiles in the moat. Anyone that would dare put their foot in the moat would be finished. Keda Amrinon, Yeshaya, Ani Karisi Vishasisi, Mayim Biachrev Bekaf Pamai Kol Yori Motzar. We bring a Rai, he bring Ori Motzar, he bring a Rai from Yeshaya. I think this was said by Sancheriv. Sancheriv, Nebuchadnezzar, there's a different question who's referring to. He says, when Sancheriv came to Yerushalayim to attack, what does an army need? The most important thing an army needs is water. You need food. You need supplies. So Nebuchadnezzar says, "I don't worry. When I come, I will dig my own wells. to supply water for my troops, and then when I come to attack, I will destroy your fortifications. And the way Nebuchadnezzar and Sancheriv described destroying the fortifications of Yehuda was, I will, the achriv b'kaf pamai, with the sole of my foot, called Yeoirei Motsar, the rivers of the Motsar, of the fortification. What do I mean the rivers? The rivers means the moat, the body of water that surrounds the city. So we see here very clearly in Yeshaya, the word water is associated with a motzar, with a fortification. The reason why he needed these fortifications was because the Klal Yisrael rebelled against him, and he always was paranoid any moment that he's under attack. He built these cities, some in Yehud, some in Yaman. He appointed Nagidim, Sodim. A nugget is a sar, is a prince. Unitzivim, lishma harim v'hakramim, to watch the cities, v'hakirachim, the large cities and the small cities. The oitus nachal v'shemen, yayin lefi sheheilohem machal muzumen, imyalu beis sholomotzar, just in case, a contingency plan, just in case they are under attack. Ki ozu halavim, also he had this word of halavim, ki ozu halavim esam igreshem, shebechol eretz asher shvatim, ki hiznicham yidrovim, yom rejected them, his nicham melavod mechayim Hashem. He rejected them from serving as priests to Hashem, and therefore they had no purpose in living there. They came to Yerushalayim. Okay, that will stop with this.